Discovering God's gifts, particularly the gifts in you.
Gifts are always fun. Fun to get, fun to give. Tonight on the way over here, my little girl came back from Santa Fe where she'd been on a buying spree and bought me a knife.
One of these great knives with a screwdriver and a punch and a blade and all sorts of things. She's 8 years old, and after looking over all that Santa Fe had to offer, that's what she brought me. And I'm grateful. I enjoyed getting it. She enjoyed giving it. And some of you are enjoying giving and getting various things here at Glorieta. There's a story running around about a guy who picked some of these wildflowers and took them over to where one of the girls was staying. And he's kind of the bashful type, and he didn't know what to say, so he just walked up, knocked on the door, and she came to the door, and he gave her the flowers. And she took the flowers in one hand and grabbed him in the other and just covered him with kisses. And when she finally let him up for air, he was staggering off down the walk, and she thought, oh, good night, I've been too forward. She said, where are you going? And he said, after some more flowers. So have fun in the prayer garden. Tonight, even if you don't get anything out of the words of man, I hope you get something out of the Word of God. And so we're going to start a little differently tonight, and that is, I'd like for you to take your Bible, whatever version you have, and there are four scripture passages that I would like for you to read. Where you are, to yourself, silently.
Particularly the gifts in you. Gifts are always fun. Fun to get, fun to give. Tonight on the way over here, my little girl came back from Santa Fe where she'd been on a buying spree and bought me a knife.
One of these great knives with a screwdriver and a punch and a blade and all sorts of things. She's 8 years old, and after looking over all that Santa Fe had to offer, that's what she brought me. And I'm grateful. I enjoyed getting it. She enjoyed giving it. And some of you are enjoying giving and getting various things here at Glorieta. There's a story running around about a guy who picked some of these wildflowers and took them over to where one of the girls was staying. And he's kind of the bashful type, and he didn't know what to say, so he just walked up, knocked on the door, and she came to the door, and he gave her the flowers. And she took the flowers in one hand and grabbed him in the other and just covered him with kisses. And when she finally let him up for air, he was staggering off down the walk, and she thought, oh, good night, I've been too forward. She said, where are you going? And he said, after some more flowers. So have fun in the prayer garden. Tonight, even if you don't get anything out of the words of man, I hope you get something out of the Word of God. And so we're going to start a little differently tonight, and that is, I'd like for you to take your Bible, whatever version you have, and there are four scripture passages that I would like for you to read. Where you are, to yourself, silently. Jot them down. Here they are. Romans 12, 1 to 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 12. Ephesians 4, 1 to 13. 1 Peter 4, 10 to 14. For you slow listeners, I'll go over them again. Romans 12, 1 to 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 12. Ephesians 4, 1 to 13. 1 Peter 4, 10 to 14. Does anybody not have a Bible with you tonight? Share around. If some hold up your hand, and maybe some way you all can share around a little bit there. We'll let you give gifts. Where's Jerry Buckner? Is Jerry here? Have your Bible, Jerry? Okay. Somebody loan Jerry a Bible, will you? Thank you. I won't ask anybody else. I don't want to embarrass anyone. All right. Take the time you need. Now listen real carefully. After you finish, would you take about 30 seconds or a minute and then stand? Now, after the first 100 or so have stood, then just as soon as you get through, if you'll stand. That way I'll have some idea about when we all get through. The other word of instruction, as you read these passages on gifts, read it in a very personal kind of way. Read it asking yourself as you read, what does God have to say to me out of these passages for my life tonight? And furthermore, which of these gifts described here do I possess? Got it? Okay.
These preachers that don't use a scripture. good hunk of scripture to grab hold of.
Look at his happy face staring at you.
Like a rush finish just because you see others around you up. Those of you who didn't have access to a Bible would stand now. Those of you who are still reading, stay seated. Dear Father, thank you for your word and for the way it speaks to us, for these passages so comforting, so disturbing, so helpful, so awful. We thank you, Father, for gifts and pray tonight as we ponder your word about gifts that we might discover those which you have given us and some way come to see them in a responsible way. Responding to what you give us gifts for, with a new insight into what we're to be and to do in your name. Now may your Spirit enlighten our minds, illuminate your word, apply to us meaning, and send us from here with gifts equipped to serve in Jesus' name. Amen. John said as we were reading together, that's quite a chunk of scripture to get around, but I think you'll find it some of the most exciting passages in the whole New Testament. Now I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes what these passages have said to me about my life and about you and about our fellowship together. And I'm quite confident that if we had the time, each one of you could share out of your own experience in reading that something just as meaningful, just as helpful, maybe a whole lot more so. One thing the Bible tells us is that gifts, good gifts, come from God. I hope you got that out of that. If you didn't, you might read in James sometime where he spells it out very specifically that all good gifts, all perfect gifts, come from God. But did you notice in reading those passages that there are other gifts which come, other supernatural gifts which are not from God? And one thing Paul was urging those churches to do was to equip themselves to be able to discern the gifts from God and those gifts not from God. So when we talk about discovering our gifts, we're talking about discovering God's gifts to us and learning how to discern which are His and which are not His, and to respond in faith to His and act on them and to reject others. Also, when you try to discover gifts, you have to keep in mind that there are more than one kind of gift. There are three separate qualities, types of gifts. One are the gifts which God gives to everybody. Christians and non-Christians, Muslims and Jews, Hindus and atheists, everyone receives certain gifts from God. One of those gifts is the gift of creation. God created the world and all that is in it. We did not. He gives it to us. God also gives us life. He is the giver of life. In Him we live and move and have our being. Anybody who talks about being a self-made person hasn't gone back far enough to the fundamentals. He's a God-made person, given the gift of life. Also, God gives all people the orders of His creation that enable us to live in a civilized society. So, for example, He gives us the family. And we're going to hear about that in the morning. He gives us work and vocation. We're going to hear about that tomorrow night. He gives us government, the state, politics. He gives us art and culture. He gives us the church. These enable us to live together. But it's the third kind of gift that we're going to talk about tonight. Those special gifts the New Testament discusses. The kinds of gifts which are unique. Not common to all of us. We don't all have those gifts. Now, God gives to everyone, however, in the Christian faith, another group, a third kind of quality of salvation and the Christian life and the gift of the Spirit, which we do have. And out of that comes these specific and distinct qualities. Jesus is a gift from the Father, but He's also a gift giver. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father, but He's also a gift giver. So all of us, whether Christian or not, have certain gifts from God. All of us who are in Christ have certain gifts from God. But each one of us has certain distinctive, unique gifts which God has given us through the Son, through the Spirit, or directly. And those are the ones I want us to talk about. Now, the New Testament has several lists of these gifts, and you've read them tonight in Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians and also in 1 Peter. I'm just going to refresh you on the gifts mentioned here. Now, you've read it. You've been working today on discovering gifts. Some of you came to Glorietta already aware of some gifts God had given you. As I read these, if you have a gift described in the New Testament, you're aware of it, and you're already acting on it, I'd like for you to stand. Now keep in mind, to say I have a gift is not bragging. It's not being proud. It's a gift. It's not something you did, not something you created, not something you developed. It was God's gift to you. And you're just sharing with the group here tonight, this is how God's gifted me. Now, the list I'm going to read is not exhaustive. It's illustrative. Not every gift is mentioned here. If you notice, there's no gift of music. But obviously, this guy's gifted from God. So not everybody is going to find a gift in here necessarily that fits you. But I want you to begin to discover in the Scripture gifts which may apply to you. Now, already some of you are getting nervous stomachs and spastic colons because you know that in the Corinthian list are such things as healings and prophecy and speaking in unknown languages. Well, we're not going to get a lot into that tonight. If you feel God's gifted you that way, well, stand up. I promise you, no bouncer's going to throw you out. It's not a basic Baptist commitment, but we're going to be a fellowship together of sharing of these gifts. So listen, as I read back over them, I'm reading from the Living Letters paraphrase of the Scripture because, to me, it was very helpful in spelling out these gifts in modern jargon. In Romans, the gift of serving others. Any deacons here tonight? The gift of teaching. The gift of preaching. Everybody look around on this one. The gift of being able to earn money so as to be able to give generously. We need you. Administrative ability. We need you too. The gift of being able to offer comfort to those who are sorrowing. Isn't this exciting? The ability to give wise advice, the counselor. The gift of studying. Why did 500 of you sit down? All right. Special faith. Times of trial, difficulty, opportunity. Some of you experience this. The power to heal. To tie those little knots. The power for doing miracles. power to prophesy, to speak forth the truth. The power to know whether evil spirits are speaking or God's spirit. To speak in languages he never learned. To understand what's being said. The special ability of winning people to Christ, helping them to trust him as their Savior. The gift of caring for God's people. The shepherd. Passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. That's about it in the New Testament. But there are other gifts. If others of you have discovered gifts not listed here, would you stand? If anybody doesn't believe God gives gifts, I wish they were here to see this. Thank you. Sit down. Now, it's God who gives the gifts. And he gives these three kinds, the gifts to everybody, the gifts to all Christians, and these special abilities or talents or gifts which we've talked about here and you've exemplified, you've received. Now, a third question is, not only who gives the gifts and what kind of gifts does he give, but if I'm going to discover them, how can I go about it? How do you know about what gift you have? Now, obviously, many of you have some insight into that because you can stand and testify, I have this gift or I have that one. Basically, the Bible seems to indicate there are two ways. One is that you ask for a gift. You ask of God and he gives it. Now, that seems to be the exception, not the rule. Jesus, however, said, you who are mere human beings, when your children ask a gift of you, you give them good gifts. Don't you think your Father in heaven is going to give you good gifts also? So if you have a gift you desire, you can ask God for it. But keep in mind that that gift is to be used unselfishly. I've been in some meetings in which people are asking for certain gifts purely for their own personal advantage. God doesn't give those kinds of gifts. But asking for gifts is legitimate. I remember when I was about 10 years old, I decided that I needed a horse. And I started a great campaign with my parents for a horse. I wrote them letters. I left them hints. I drew pictures. I had my friends drop by and talk about what wonderful gifts horses were. Finally, after all that badgering and letter writing and pleading, I got a horse. And it sort of made an impression on me that if you want something badly enough, go ahead and ask for it. A loving father is going to know whether or not it's good for you or not, and it doesn't hurt to ask if you ask in the right way. But most of us will not ask for our gifts, we will discover them. God equips us, gifts us with special talents and abilities. And our task is to find out what he has given us. It's kind of like at Christmas. You remember when you were a little kid and they had the presents under the bed and in the closets and behind the toilet and everywhere. And you spent all those weeks scurrying around so that on Christmas morning when you came in, you knew every package and what was in it. And you really had to fake being surprised. Oh, this is just what I wanted. And you'd known it for 6 weeks. It's a matter of discovering what the gifts are. One of my favorite stories is about the two little boys, one who was a pessimist and one who was an optimist. And they just had a horrible time with them, their parents. They took them to a child psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said, listen, I tell you, this Christmas we're going to cure them both. You give the little pessimist everything he's ever wanted. And you give the little optimist nothing but a neatly wrapped box of horse manure. Well, they did it. Christmas morning, the psychiatrist thought he'd drop by and see how his advice went over. He walked up and the little pessimist was sitting on the front steps, head in his hands, tears rolling down his cheeks, looking like he'd lost his best friend. And the psychiatrist says, well, what's the matter? Didn't you like what you got for Christmas? He said, oh, it's awful. It's a day of catastrophe. He said, why? He said, I got an electric train. Do you know they can shock you? I got a bicycle. You know you can fall off those things and break your neck? I got candy. You know, if you eat too much of it, it'll give you a stomachache. I got the psych. I said, that's all right. I understand. So he went on by, and he went back into the den, and the family was sitting there, and he said, well, didn't work with the pessimist. Where's the optimist? I said, oh, he's out in the backyard. So he went out in the backyard, and this little boy was running around with a happy grin on his face with his box in his hand. The psychiatrist said, well, what did you get for Christmas? He said, I got a pony. I just hadn't found him yet. Discovering gifts. Use your imagination. It works in there somehow. In trying to find what you've already been given. That's what you did on Christmas. Now, how do you go about it? Well, first you do experiments. You try things as they come along. You're not afraid of new adventures. One of the things that's mentioned in the passages we read is that you try new experiences so that you can find out how wonderful God is. Now, quite frankly, most of us are brought up with a fear of failure. We're laughed at when we fail. Maybe you had older brothers and sisters, and when you tried to walk and you bumped your nose, they laughed at you. Or when you were a little older than that in school and you were in the spelling bee and you misspelled a word, everybody laughed at you. Or the teacher called on volunteers to go out and clean the playground and you missed half the debris and they laughed at you. So pretty soon, we get the idea that we ought not try anything that's unusual or different because we might fail and people will laugh at us and it will hurt. As a result, we pull into a kind of shell doing only that which we're very comfortable with. And those kinds of people run the risk of never finding God's gift. You have to experiment. Try all kinds of good things. Enter into all sorts of adventures. Second thing you do is you read the scriptures over and over again, pondering the gifts that are mentioned there. Praying and meditating and seeing if God in some way has given you any of those gifts. Another thing is you talk to people who know you well, to friends and teachers and parents and pastors and others, to find out what they think your gifts might be. And you also have a responsibility, and so do I, to go to people and say, we feel you're gifted in this way, and you ought to exercise this gift. But now keep this in mind. All of the passages that you read were passages set in a corporate fellowship, group, kind of endeavor. Finding or discovering God's gift is never in isolation. It is always in relation. You must relate to others in order to discover the gifts God has given you. This morning, Doug Manning rightly reminded us that they, the church, family, the world, keeps pushing us into a mold and we want to fit in. The other side of that coin, of course, is that they, the family and the church and friends, also help us to discover our personhood by helping us to discover our gifts. And if you relate to them in a kind of openness, they'll guide you. I must confess that tonight I owe a great debt to my parents. They encouraged me to experiment, to try new things, and supported me in it. Never laughed at me when I failed. Kept encouraging me all along the way, affirming and supporting me. I'm grateful to my church, for the church in which I grew up let us, as young people, do anything and everything. And by the time I was halfway through college, I had opportunities to do just about everything there was to do in a church. In my BSU, Dr. Doyle Baird, as my BSU director, opened all kinds of doors of opportunity for me. And Dr. W.F. Howard, who is the state director in Texas, was a friend and a confidant, but more than that, he was the man who helped me discover my gifts. One of the reasons this is a kind of an emotional meeting for me to speak in is because so many of you here tonight have helped me in relationship discover whatever gifts I have. And I owe you so much. Discovering gifts, however, is not the main thing the Bible talks about. The Bible talks mainly about our response to gifts. Now, the response to gifts is twofold. One is attitude and one is action. The response to whatever gift God has bestowed on you is to be an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. Praise be to God from whom all blessings flow. And really, I had thought when you were all standing a while ago to have us sing that, but I didn't because I couldn't lead it and I didn't know how I was going to get this thing around Don's neck. So, I'm not gifted in music. Joanne Shelton used to tell me I carried a tune real well. I just couldn't unload it. But it is God to whom we give thanks. So the Bible says about our gifts, first of all, we are never in our attitude to feel proud. That we are a body. And each one of us has been uniquely equipped by God for whatever role we are to play within the body of Christ. So I'm never to feel that my gift is superior to your gift, nor you to feel yours is superior to another. Now it is a bit unfortunate in some ways that some gifts get priority, get rave reviews, get ratings on our ecclesiastical scale of hierarchies. But it's not that way with God. No gift is better than another if you fulfill what God has given you to do. Now Paul does say there's some gifts you might ought to actively seek, like the gift of clearly speaking rather than the gift of speaking in unknown or non-understandable words because of its effect on the body of Christ. But never is there an intimation that one should feel superior or inferior. The second thing that means is we are not to be jealous. And that's where it gets tough. At least I have a lot of problem with that. Jealousy over the gifts of other people. Whenever I hear Clyde Vance stand and teach the Bible like he did this morning, I have a struggle with envy. I really do. That was tremendous. Whenever I hear Doug Manning communicate like he did, I have a struggle with jealousy. Whenever I hear Caldwell communicate and turn everybody into ripples of laughter, I have trouble with envy. Of course, you never do, I know, but some of us have those kinds of problems with people who are very gifted. I wish I could do that. I wish I'd been talented that way. I wish I'd been equipped that way. And I have to go back again and again to read the scripture where the promise of God is, I have given you whatever you need. Rejoice in that. And then to read on and to understand that I'm to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, which means I'm to praise God not only for my gifts, but for their gifts too. And if I can begin to be happy and excited and affirm them in their gifts, then do you know what? My joy has expanded 10,000-fold. But if I sit there and burn with envy because they seem to be more gifted than I, my life is miserable. Isn't it? Attitude has to also be followed by action. Gifts are given to be used. Did you notice how often responsibility was emphasized in here? If you have the gift, use it well, responsibly. Give it your best. Don't shirk it. Now, I have to confess that as I've looked out over Christian fellowships in this country today, that I don't think we're most afflicted with legalism, nor do I think we're over-afflicted with hyper-pietism, though it runs pretty deep in places. The thing that I spot most is laziness, apathy, indolence, gifts gone unused, minds untrained, talents not thoroughly disciplined. Now it is in gifts that grace and discipline come together. Whatever gift you have is of grace. God gave it to you. You didn't earn it. It comes as a gift. But immediately when you receive it, it becomes a responsibility. You remember that horse I talked to you about? They gave it to me. It was a gift. It immediately became a responsibility. I had to haul hay, feed it, repair fences, cut off its hoofs, build new stalls because it had an avarice appetite for wood. It was work, that gift. All gifts are. And sometimes we become syrupy sentimental about the gifts God gives us. How wonderful. Praise God for His gifts. But the fact of the matter is, after the initial praise, it's to work. It's discipline. It's effort. And the person who does not discover that a gift must be acted on responsibly hasn't read of the Scripture's wrath and judgment of God. Some of the harshest passages in the New Testament are about people who were gifted of God and did not use those gifts well. The law was given to the people of Israel for their good. In Jesus' day, they had turned it into a burden on the backs of people. And there are accounts in the New Testament when Jesus looked out upon people who were misusing the gift God had given them, and His eyes went red with anger. He was mad. And if you haven't discovered the realm of the wrath of God, you have not discovered the totality of the Word of God. His love and His wrath go together. God holds us responsible. Now, because we love Him, and we love others, and we love ourselves. We should want to do what He has gifted us with, but always keep in mind that there is judgment and responsibility. God holds you responsible. He doesn't give you a gift so that you can fondle it and caress it and look at it and handle it and say, isn't it wonderful? He's gifted me. He has gifted you to serve. Now, as you get into that, you discover another interesting thing about the gifts in the New Testament, and that is that the gift discussions are always set right in the middle of discussions about controversy, disruption, persecution, and trial. If you think that a gift is all good news, read again. The gift of God drags you into the arena of controversy. It brings you face to face with the world we live in, with all that God wants done in it. He's equipped you to do it, and it's going to be rough. That's what Peter says, and Paul, and Jesus warned about. The gift is given. Our response, discipline, effort. Use it well. If we don't, we and others suffer. The two purposes for gifts in the New Testament are to build up the body of Christ, the church. If you're gifted, you're given a gift to build up the church. Let me say that again. If you're gifted, it's to build up the church. Not a Bible study group or your own personal devotional life. The church. The charismatic movement of our day has tended to sweep people out of churches into separate groups. The New Testament says the gifts of God are for the building up of the church. Now, I know some of you have churches that are not the most exciting things around, and to go involves a good bit of suffering. You have to endure a lot. The Bible never said your gifting was for personal pleasure and enjoyment all the time. And your involvement in a church may be gritting your teeth, not getting much out of it, but staying in there with your gift to build up the body of Christ. You can't build it up if you're not there. It's tough, it's hard, it's discouraging, but the gifts you have are for that. The second purpose of the gifts is to minister to other people and to their needs, to the hurt of the world, to those who are lost, to those who are hell-bound because they have not found Jesus Christ as Savior, to those who are sorrowing and those who are without cheer and those who are lonely, for those who are poor and clothless and hungry. Gifted for that. So that a gift, therefore, thrusts you out into that awful cutting edge of ministry and service. To receive a gift is to receive a challenge. To be gifted is to be thrust out into ministry. Think about Paul. Gifted, wonderfully gifted, with the talent to communicate the gospel, particularly to Gentiles. Look what it got him. Trouble. It also got him a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Gifts hurt. Gifts cost. Gifts involve sacrifice. Gifts take you into controversy. Gifted to prophesy means to speak forth the truth of God. Try doing that in a racial culture like ours, speaking the truth of God. Try ministering to people who are poor in a culture that doesn't like poor people. Try using the gift of ministry in an area where people are down on the church. You'll be involved in controversy and conflict and difficulty. So, ask God for gifts and discover gifts. But when you do, realize you're on a dangerous adventure. And yet there's no joy without it. For He has gifted us, and unless we use those gifts, we will lose them. He will take away what we have and give it to another. Jesus made it quite clear. He will judge us and hold us responsible. But in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, I'll show you the most excellent way to use your gifts in love. Because the Father has loved you, and the Son has died for you, And the Holy Spirit will fill you with power and with His love. Minister. Build up the church. Dare to use your gifts. Though it cost you your life and ridicule on campus and difficulty wherever you go. There's a banner in this auditorium which says to discover your gifts. We're going to have a time of spotlighting that banner. And then a time of very calm, quiet, self-searching. I'd like for you to look at the banner, those of you who can, for just a moment, and to reflect on what the Word of God has to say about gifts from God to be discovered, to be used responsibly, involving the disciplined effort to make them the best possible. Now let me tell you what's going to happen if you discover and act on your gifts this way. The first thing that's going to happen is when you get back home, your church is going to be a different church. It's going to feel the impact of you who are so equipped as you indicated when you stood a few minutes ago. And we're going to hear repercussions all over this nation of churches affected by you. Second, your campus is going to be affected with these gifts as you minister, equipped with a gift. Discovering gifts. What an awful thing to do. What a wonderful thing to do. Would you bow your heads, or however you can sort of lock in with the Father, and talk to Him about the gift you've already discovered, the gift that you have known you have. How are you doing with it? How is it affecting your church, your campus? Talk to the Father about your attitude toward your gifts and others. And then, if you trust Him, and I hope you do, ask Him to help show you the gift He has buried down inside of you, waiting for you to uncover. Dear Father, we confess we have wanted gifts for selfish reasons. We wanted spiritual priorities to be praised. When we have discovered gifts, we sometimes have not used them. We have been lazy, indolent, irresponsible. We'd rather sing choruses than minister to need. We'd rather sit and enjoy one another all the time than use the gift of ministry out in the hard, harsh reality of a world that's so desperate in need. You've showered your gifts on us. We haven't done much about it. Forgive us. I thank You for Your love and for Your gifts. Your awful gifts. Help us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.